Hey, America.
Start listening now. That's it. It's Thanksgiving week. So in honor of Thanksgiving, we're honoring the children. It's junior Eurovision time. Who's editing this week? Is it you, Eric, or Derek?
It's me, and I'm suddenly very concerned.
All right. Well, have fun with your carpal tunnel, getting rid of all of the things we'll be saying.
Fair enough.
Roll it, Derek.
And welcome to another heavily edited episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country that's young but knows what to do. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha, and I'm pretty sure we used that one pretty recently, didn't we?
I'm Danny. Well, I referenced it in the last episode. From last year, we probably talked about it last episode. That's fine.
It's worth reusing.
I was going to say, because it's the kids this week, we'll try to be polite, but maybe not heavily edited, but heavily redacted, probably. Yeah.
Which we'll see which ones we have this week. We'll see. Yeah. Welcome to the first of our 2021 Junior Eurovision song preview shows. I'm very, very excited for these. Junior Eurovision is almost here, which means my trip to Europe is almost here, which is also incredibly exciting. And now Sam, Sam's going to be sort of a different sort of participant in these. She has to be neutral, which is lame.
I would say I'm Switzerland, but Switzerland doesn't take part at junior. So maybe I am like Switzerland.
Yeah,
and the fact that, you know, I got to be neutral. I can be neutral. It's okay. Yeah. I can do this.
And why is that? Just in case anyone's tuning in and hasn't heard about this until now.
Yeah, I actually will have an official role in the organization for this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. I'll be doing some writing and editorial work for the official website, maybe a little bit of social media work. But yeah, I'm really very, very excited to be part of the team again. Granted, I will be spending most of the time holed up in a hotel or in the venue itself. I'm not necessarily going to Paris for any sort of touristic anything. And I am going to be tested constantly and kept healthy and in a fair distance. The last thing we want is to, spread the COVIDs around. So, it's going to be fun, even though, I'm not going to be able to, wander the streets of Paris and hang out and be a tourist. But I have a job, I have a duty, and that means that I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to stay neutral, but I can still provide informational context. I can provide history about a country's participation in Junior Eurovision. I could provide biographical information about the kids that you're going to be performing this year, but I will not be sharing any opinions that I may or may not be having with the class.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sam explaining things, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Hey, this is something I can talk about. You can hit us up on social media. That's right, on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Scope out our YouTube page. We do have a pretty recent video where we foisted some fantastic deep cuts upon the crew here. So if you want some sweet, sweet reactions to some salty, salty Winnie Pooh, that's where you go for that. So yeah, we would love to hear from you, be a part of the conversation. If you have the ability to like, subscribe, give a review, anything like that, we would really, really appreciate you do so, especially as we are ramping up to our coverage of Junior Eurovision and the event in Turin beyond it. So the more the merrier.
Turin, city on the go.
All right, we'll just dive in, honestly. These preview shows can get a little long, but since there's fewer songs, we'll probably be able to keep it nice and under an hour. What will we be listening to tonight?
We have a really fantastic slate of songs. We are going to be opening up with our first, well, alphabetically, with Anna Jabrea singing Stand By You for Albania. Following that, we will hear the songs from Georgia, the Netherlands, North Macedonia, host nation France, Malta, and Italy. But I guess we could start this off with Albania. That's Anna Jabrea with Stand By You. All right, that is a little bit from Anna Jabrea, the 7th participant for Albania at Junior Eurovision with her song Stand By You in both Albanian and English. She is 12 years old and is actually the daughter of a very well-known singer and television host named Ardi Cibrea, who is pretty well-known in the Albanian circles. So I guess this is something genetic for them. Albania's best performance at Junior Eurovision was a 5th place placing in 2015 with the song Dambaye. Mm-hmm. And now I will shut up unless you have any specific questions.
I have a question, Sam. Hypothetically, if you thought this was total garbage, how would you express those feelings?
Oh, she'd do it with her eyes. But unfortunately, the listeners can't listen to her eyes.
I was going to suggest interpretive dance, but...
Oh, she's going to blink it in Morse code. I will say this. I can't remember if it was last week or the episode before, but I think I said something to the effect of, at Junior Eurovision, the content of a lot of the songs tends to have a social message that is very applicable to teenagers or adolescents. And I'm really seeing that here. I think I said it in reference to, like, I think it's sometimes prescribed by the broadcaster or the organization that brings it to Junior Eurovision. Like, I think there might be like a rubric or a roster that is like required. I have a strange feeling that that might be the case here. We're going for like a standing up for yourself and don't no bully kind of message here. I do have to possibly side with Eric, though. A great message and a worthy message does not a great song make. And this does kind of feel a touch cookie cutter.
But
I'm not
going to
say this is a garbage song. This ain't no garbage song.
Well,
Eric.
Wait, to what extent are you agreeing with me?
I'm not sure what this might be garbage.
Oh, no, I think he was just suggesting about if I were to think it was.
Yeah. I was just trying to get Sam fired. It's fine. No,
I see.
I kind of enjoy it. I think it's a good message. I think that's probably the most important thing about it. It's not spectacular. It is still kind of in my head a little bit. I haven't completely forgotten it. Like I have, you know, the ride from Poland or something like that.
I will never forget the ride. It was the ride of my life.
This is also a good one to open with because it's an example of one of the more interesting trends that I've seen in the songs this year, and this is going to be fairly prevalent. There are 19 songs in Junior this year. 13 of them contain both English and another language.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which is a crazy high number for that.
There's snippets in others that we're going to hear, but this one is honestly shifting back and forth, even to entire choruses.
Yep, between Albanian and English. Sam, was there any sort of rule regarding this or anything? Is there a language rule, or just a clear reason why this is so abundant this year?
I don't know if there's currently a language rule officially in effect. I do believe there is. At least in the past, there has been sort of at least 50% of your song must be in the native language or a native language of the nation that's being represented. But I mean, how many songs at Senior Eurovision incorporate English, even if English isn't an official language? So
well,
you still want to make, you still oftentimes marketability becomes a question, especially mm-hmm. in a system where televote or in this case, online vote is a necessity. So
yeah,
it's not uncommon for English to be incorporated at least somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the part that surprises me, I guess. It's the fact that there are 13 songs that are explicitly bilingual. Like a lot of times we'll just have a lot of songs that are just in English. Like, what's a song that was in English in Junior last year?
Well, I was actually going to compare this phenomenon a little bit closer to TikTok from Albania. Was it not Albania last year?
Albina from Croatia.
We did it again. Yes. But from the main contest, from regular Eurovision last year,
Don't confuse her with Albano from Italy, though.
Lou Albano, yes, good. But no, she sang all of TikTok in English, except for that one chorus near the end, all in what I assume is Croatian. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be, this one, Ana Gjebreja's song, is kind of the reverse. It's mostly in Albanian, with a couple of very large segments in English.
Yeah, so there has to be the native language incorporated into it. It's not like Senior, where you can have a song entirely in English, even though you're from Moldova. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, just taking a look at the only country that has a song that's entirely in English is Malta. So,
that's because that Malta tracks. Is, yeah, it's co-official. I mean, even Ireland, and when Wales was participating as well, they opted for almost entirely, if not entirely, in Irish or Welsh. And that also has to do with the needs of the broadcaster. You know, in Ireland's participation in Junior Eurovision, and we'll talk about this in another show. We're not talking about Ireland today, but it's actually the requirement of the broadcaster that is an Irish language broadcaster, and they are participating partially to lift up the artist, but also partially to help spread and make awareness of the Irish language, which is a beautiful effort. So
I think for many broadcasters, that's a concerted effort, especially when we're dealing with primarily a children's audience, children's viewership for this contest.
Right.
Derek, what do you think?
Really went off on a tangent on the language thing there.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. I wasn't as thrown by the switch between the English and the Albanian. I thought it kind of worked. And I really like this sort of a hip hop influence on this one, which I rather enjoyed. It immediately reminded me that every year these songs a lot of times will have a social message. And I wonder sometimes if they skew a little too young or if they should skew young when they try to make that message, because the bullying thing feels, I mean, age appropriate, 12 years old. I feel like that's kind of the message, which is fine. But, you know, maybe it should be more universal. I don't know. I think it's a solid effort overall. I'm not blown away by it. I think it'll do reasonably well, but I think it's a good place to start.
Their highest result to this point is fifth. I understand this is the only song we've listened to this point, but do you see this potentially matching or even beating that?
Perhaps not. I've heard a couple of the other ones, and there's some real, we got some real, real jewels in this contest.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm not too sure either. I think if it's performed very well live, it could be in that neighborhood, but fifth might be pushing it. So yeah, let's give another song a listen. Sam, what do we got?
Next up, we go over to Georgia and Nikolaos Kajaia with "Let's Count the Smiles."
There's two.
All right, that was Georgia's Nikolaos Kajaia with "Let's Count the Smiles." Nikolaos is 10 years old. Nico, I think, is what most people are calling
him.
But yeah,
10. I'm impressed.
He's 10. He is 10. He made it to the Junior Eurovision stage by winning the illustrious Ranina contest, which has been going on basically since September. They've already announced that they're going to be doing Ranina in 2022. For next year's contest, like Georgia and Junior Eurovision, it's a big deal. This is their 15th participation in the contest, and they've already won it three times, which is pretty impressive, including, of course, the very well beloved song within our circles here, Bzzz.
Yeah,
bzz,
yeah.
Bzz,
bzz, bzz, bzz.
Yep.
Anyway.
And also Candy Music in 2011 and Mzeo. In 2016. Now, Let's Count the Smiles is co-written by Guga Kukianidze, Giga Kukianidze, excuse me, who I believe was actually behind the absolute masterpiece that was Bzzz and Candy Music and a number of other Georgian classics. So this is familiar territory for the songwriting team. But yeah, there's Nico. I will mute myself. You guys go at it.
Derek, we promised you could go first, so go first.
I don't know if I have enough. I'm perplexed by this one. it feels like it was written by a 60-year-old veteran in the music scene for a 10-year-old child.
Derek, we have like the exact same. We have the exact same assessment. Keep going.
I don't know what the children are going to respond to this with. It's so dated in a way that they're never going to understand. I feel like that when the kid first heard this, he must have thought, that's what my grandpa listens to, or something like that. It feels so removed from this generation that I think they're going to have to really do something different with the staging. I think it's catchy and it's sweet and it's, you know, it's got good energy and maybe that'll kind of appeal to them, but I don't know. I feel like this isn't the right thing.
What I thought it sounded like, Derek, was remove the new disco strings and give the vocals to Maurice Chevalier. And it would sound like it was straight out of 1940, you know? The disco treatment, there's something about the feel of this song, the lyrical delivery, and just the melody in general that feels very old-fashioned. It is a very old-fashioned song. However, Derek, I love it. I think it's just so strange. It's baffling to me, but I cannot deny that I really like it. I am, however, not an adolescent, so I will also be on the edge of my seat to see how this does.
That's my biggest concern is I'm thinking of the target audience when I'm watching this. I think if this was at the adult contest, I'd say, oh, this kind of works in a very weird retro way, and we've seen that before with other music.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if the kids are going to get it.
Yeah, I could totally get behind a sort of a disco throwback sort of a thing at Eurovision. But this isn't Eurovision.
Yeah.
This is a contest in which 10-year-olds sing to each other. So like,
yeah, it has a mid-tempo sort of laid back feel. I'm going to say it kind of gives me Kiss Me More vibes, like the Doja Cat song. It even has the little rap breaks, but this kid is not delivering Doja Cat style raps. We can thank God. it is at times it feels mature. But it also feels old. It feels a bit complex. Like there are some bold choices here that are still very poppy and very marketable. But again, to the kids. To the kids.
Yeah, it's a fun song. Like, it's not bad. I'm so confused by it. It's such an enigma, kind of like Derek said. I will say I enjoyed the penguin in the music video.
Nice.
Some real Left Shark vibes from that penguin, which I appreciate.
Also, they have assigned Nico this choreography that really feels like I'm watching Hillary Clinton on a daytime talk show. It's absolutely, it's baffling. I can't look away. Again, I love it. I love it. I am not a child. I just need to know. This is the one I want to hear about most from our listeners out there. Please tweet us, hashtag Hillary on daytime talk show, regarding Nico. I love Nico. I hope this does great. I hope it does great.
I'm not sure I see that happening.
I'm very worried about this one.
It's just so odd.
It's a delight.
If this kid can sell this, like, it's so easy to say, like, oh, well, if it's great on stage, then it'll do great. Yeah, okay, that's always true. But, like, if this kid can sell, like, the product that is this song as, like, a kid's song, it could finish just about anywhere, I guess. But if I had to guess, I would say I don't think this is going to connect. It's just a little too odd. If it were, and honestly, the only thing that's giving me a little bit of pause is that it's Georgia, and Georgia is just
Georgia has a little bit of a marketing machine.
Yeah, they're the Sweden of this thing, and so yeah, I don't know. It's a song.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one. What do you say we move on?
Yeah, why don't we?
Oh, but the next song that we're going to get to is The Netherlands. The singer is Ayana. Samantha, how is this song pronounced?
Well, actually, Derek would be the Japanese speaker among the four of us, but my approximation is Matasugu Aone. Derek, is that okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Yatta!
I miss you every single day.
All right, that was Matsusugu Aone by Ayana, who is a Dutch singer with some Japanese descent and some British descent as well. Interesting fact about the Netherlands at Junior Eurovision, they are actually the only nation remaining to have taken part in every single iteration of the Junior Eurovision Song Festival. It's actually a record that they used to share with Belarus until Belarus decided to Belarus.
Whoopsie doodle.
Yeah.
Sam, mm-hmm. Is there a specific thing or person that this song was inspired by or is about that you know of?
Yeah, the song is supposedly about Ayana missing her extended family in Japan, who she used to visit often, and not being able to see them in person due to the inability to travel during COVID.
Gotcha. And what do you think of it?
Mute.
Okay.
One of these days we're going to get her.
Yeah, I tried, everyone. Sam lives to not be fired another day. Anyway, the song, it's well done. It's fully competent. It's a heartwarming message, especially that she's saying, I hope I see you soon, about people who are alive. It's a lot less morbid that way. And, yeah. That said, it doesn't do a ton for me. It doesn't have that long-lasting feel to it that some songs we're going to hear in a little bit will, I think.
Yeah, I think there's more to appreciate. There's more that I appreciate about this song than I love. I appreciate that both the approach and the message aren't very juvenile. Like, I think the kids and their parents can both see themselves in this song or in the lyrics of this song.
Yeah, it's very sincere. It doesn't really blow me away, but it's sincere. I appreciate it more than I like it.
This is like damning with faint praise, but I think I totally agree. It feels a little, I know we talked about a different song last year that had a similar thing, but it feels a little conservative and a little safe. Like we've kind of heard this sort of thing before. I was sort of hoping the Japanese element would bring something different to it that we may never have seen before, but I found that kind of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little disappointed with that. I think she sings it well, and she'll probably sing it well on the stage, and it's very nice, but I don't feel like it's going to stick with me.
Some really heartstringy visuals could propel this quite a bit on the day, I feel like. It is stage it with the, you know, family members on screen and so on. I don't know. There's something that could be done there, I guess, that would help push it in a strong direction.
There's something here I think everyone can immediately connect with. I mean, even now, this is like still a part of our lives. And, you know, I don't think anyone's going to look at the screen and think, I don't get this message. I mean, it's so universal at this point.
I don't get it. I've been able to see anyone for as long as I've wanted. Just tell this girl to get a Zoom account.
Put the family on Zoom and then it'll just...
Yeah. Yeah. That is mean. But I mean, I just have to agree with the rest of you boys. I think it's just a little, if I were to be just completely blunt, boring. But there's just a lot of worthy sentiment and worthy talent for it to not really be boring. Just, yeah, I think just middling, a little restrained. And I think conservative is a nice way to put it. And I don't think conservative songs win contests.
Yeah, there's right before the last chorus, there's a little bit of a vocal deviation where she sings
a little
sort of
jazzy.
Yeah, a little bit jazzy, like a minor third down or something like that. And that really stood out. And that may be a testament about what the rest of the song is like as much as anything. But I appreciated that. And it made me wish that there was more of it, because so much of the song feels like it's just a bit lacking. And then there's that one moment that's like, oh, OK. And then it just goes back to the or whatever. It's fine. Sam, save us.
Well, I suppose we can hop over to our next song if everybody's ready.
Yeah,
I'll take that deafening silence isn't okay. All right. Next up, we have got the entry from North Macedonia. This is the song Green Forces by four members of the troupe from the children's television show Daite Musica.
Oh, I know this. This is Green Forces. That's the storyline where Tommy joins the Power Rangers.
I was waiting for that. Then he plays his knife like a flute.
Yes.
And summons a dragon.
And the flute sounds like a trumpet. But it's a knife and it's called a flute. Anyway, here's a song.
Okay, that was Daite Musica, or at least a selection of the cast of Daite Musica, with Green Forces. Now, Daite Musica is a well-known kids' music show that's been going on for a while in Macedonia. It's sort of like, I'm under the impression it's sort of like a Mickey Mouse Club sort of a thing where cast members may come and go.
Menudo the show.
Yeah, kind of. So the members specifically of Daite Musica that are here are Christina, Anastasia, Miha, and Philip. And yeah, they are, they've been performing together on this TV show for quite a while. Now North Macedonia is back in the contest after a year's absence due to, well, last year imploding, but they're back. I believe North Macedonia's best finish at the contest is a fifth place in both 2007 and 2008. But, their last attempt with Mila Moskov's Fire, sort of legendary in a lot of our hearts, came in a pretty respectable sixth place. So let's see if they can best that this year.
It's tough to say how this one will do. It's cool in a way that the other songs that we have listened to have not necessarily come off as cool. But also, and I've said this in the past, there's a little bit of an English quirk here happening. Like, it doesn't feel like natural, it doesn't feel like natural English. Like, this is the only place that we are calling home kind of sounds like what I, it kind of sounds like this is the only place that we are calling home. Like,
it's sort of wordy.
The
English parts anyway, like they're just cramming a lot in there.
It felt like they were suited to the rhythm of the melody rather than, I don't know. That comes off as a little bit odd. Overall, it comes off as cool, but a little wobbly. I don't know. I feel like I want this song to throw harder than it does. Just like musically. Like I want it to be a little bit more of a banger. I wish it were a little harder. A little harder edged. I don't know.
I have a hard time with the contrast between the message of the planet is dying and the delivery, which is let's party. I don't know. I'm not saying that any song about the environment should just be somber, but this feels a bit disjointed.
It does feel like they are trying to insist that climate action is cool, Eric. Climate action is a party. So come on over. My parents are out of town until Monday.
We're going to come over and lower our carbon footprint.
We're going to recycle all of these six rings.
Oh, man. Sick. It's fine. I want to like it more than I do.
But I'm with you, Eric. Yeah, it's I have no real. I have no real.
I'm saving my opinions up for the later songs.
I'll do it for Georgia. I'll listen to Georgia 10 times in a row. This one, I can take or leave.
I found myself really liking it, and then there was some things that happened that really just kind of knocked it down for me. And number one, it was the English. I wish this song didn't have any English in it at all. I think it's a perfectly good song.
I kind of agree
entirely. In their own language, and that would have been fine. And I think the message kind of, I mean, works in that regard. But I think too, I kept waiting for it to amp up, like Danny said.
It's a type of song that you expect to eventually ramp up and throw down, and it doesn't. Yes.
And it gets into third gear, and then it kind of stays there. And I thought, okay, this is gonna be like a key change, and they're really gonna just, you know, drop the bass or whatever. And then it just sort of doesn't, and it ends, and I'm like, that was really cool. Honestly, if that was playing somewhere, I'd enjoy it a lot. It just doesn't quite work overall for what they want it to do, and that's really frustrating because
it does I don't want to say it's safe because it is fairly ambitious in terms of the sound and and production and all that, but it does kind of straddle the line between really trying to do something daring but not too daring.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I
What do you want to send go away?
Yeah, I'll third that this would have been better entirely in Macedonian. Again, 13 of the 19 songs this year are going back and forth to some degree between a native language and English. This one, as is going to be the case with a few of my, I think, just didn't do it super well. I call it Mi Slovania syndrome, to note a song that is very not junior in any way. That song was way, way better when it was just in Polish. This is Poland 2014, to be clear, the butter churner one. Yeah, the English version, obviously, like being able to understand it was nice, but it just didn't have the same punch to it when it was in English. And then live, they tried to, well, they didn't try to, they did sort of split the difference. They did both. The first half or so was in Polish and they switched to English. And it would have been so much better if they just stuck with Polish. I'm ranting about language again. I don't know. I continue to not know about this song. Sam, what do you think?
I'm thinking that's a signal to roll on to the next song, possibly. If everybody has said their piece.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah, we're good.
We'll see.
All right. Next song up in our show, we actually...
Wow.
Yep, it is... Here. You all right there, Danny?
Yeah. No, it's just, it's France. So it's just like, they're returning, this will spoil nothing probably to any listener, but France is the host, and they are not slouching when it comes to what they're sending.
And they are sending Enzo with Tic Tac, which has nothing to do with the breath mint, I believe. And that was France's Enzo with Tic Tac. And actually, fun fact, Enzo will be turning 13 years old on the day that this episode drops. So bon anniversaire, Enzo. He was a finalist in The Voice Kids France in 2020. So he is known to audiences over there. And he's also France's first male soloist at Junior Eurovision since 2004. But it should be noted that they had a long hiatus between 2004 and 2018. But yeah, still, good for him.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to see France, like I intimated before we took our little listen, that France is really kind of banking that the same sort of thing that won them last year is going to win them again this year. They're sending a charismatic young singer with a very, very upbeat and positive song that's just sold really, really well. I had my doubts last year about J'imagine because it felt kind of juvenile. And this song also feels very child-targeted. But it is incredibly well-produced, as J'imagine was. It exploits his vocal abilities perfectly. But like last year, how I didn't love J'imagine, I don't love this song, but it is going to do very well. I will say that with certainty. Yeah.
All my complaints I had about all the previous songs, I think this one does all those things right.
Yeah.
It skews younger, but I don't, as an older person, I don't feel kind of shut out. I can enjoy it for what it is. It has touches of really old kind of style of music and modern styles, which I think is really cool. It has that sort of a Caravan Palace kind of feel to it, which I know Sam really likes. It's got a lot of energy.
You heard it here. Sam likes it.
Sam likes Caravan Palace. Let's just be clear. Trying not to get you fired.
I'm keeping this on mute. Damn it.
I think it's like a third year in a row they've sent something like this, and I think it really, really works for them. It's well produced. It's a lot of fun. It's bright and colorful. The only complaint I have about it is near the end when he's just going tic-tac over and over again. I'm just like, we could use a little something different here. Other than that, I can see this doing very well.
Yeah, it's when it becomes very repetitious, when it comes back to the chorus every time, that's when I'm like, it's giving me It's a Small World vibes, kind of. But it's still palatable. It still works.
Yeah, they France really does have a formula, don't they? This is pretty similar to J'imagine. I would say it is even more similar to Bim Bam Twa, their song from 2 years ago by yes. Carla, who, by the way, this was announced, I think, just last week. She is going to be one of the hosts of the show in Paris. I think it's really fun. I would say less fun than Bim Bam Twa, more fun than J'imagine, which I really wasn't especially high on when we were going over those. But yeah, it's fun. It does get kind of repetitive at the end. But kind of like some of these other songs, it does have that repetition, but doesn't do it to the point of being annoying. It remains charming and fun and whimsical. And yeah, I would expect a very high finish from this.
I can't say for certain this could win it again, but mm-hmm. depending on the rest of the field, I could see it squeaking through, honestly.
Do we know anything about... Oh, sorry.
If people are still into this kind of thing, I could see this winning it again, but who knows?
We'll see. I there's a song that we're going to hit in one of the next episodes that I think is going to give any other front runner a run for its money.
I look forward to it.
I completely agree, and I kind of expect we're talking about completely different things, or thinking about completely different things. I guess we shall see. Sam, has there been any sort of running order confirmation to this point?
No, not to my knowledge. There will be a bit of a draw during the opening ceremony, which will be held in Paris. And generally what happens that is the host nation will draw its running location, and then the first and last songs will also be randomly drawn, and then everything else will be producer-led running order.
Interesting.
Yes. Are we ready to move on to our next song then? Or
oh, yes.
As long as it's not Malta.
I have news for you. We've got Ike and Kaya, two 11-year-olds from Malta, singing My Home.
Where the heart is, but you stole mine. When you came in my life, it's like you found me, you go mine. You can look me in my eyes when you hold my hand, but you won't.
So representing Malta this year are Ike and Kaya with My Home. Now, Malta has had a pretty good track record at Junior Eurovision so far. This is their 17th appearance at the competition. And have had two victories with Gaia Kaushi's The Start in 2013 and Destiny in 2015 with Not My Soul. Both of those songs were co-written by a songwriter by the name of Mushu, who is also listed as a songwriter with My Home. Now, Ike and Kaya have been performing together for a couple of years now and actually came in fourth place in Malta's Got Talent in 2020. Take it away, guys. Good luck.
All right, so this is our third time doing a junior preview, and each of the previous times, Malta has produced my number one song, and mm-hmm. I am excited to announce that streak is profoundly over.
yes,
I no,
mm-hmm.
just no. Honestly, the most surprising thing about this song, besides when Lil Eminem starts going off after the first chorus, is the thing that Sam just said about how they've been performing together for 2 years, because it really, that's a shock to me, because they what is this?
Yeah, I have remind me again, how old is he?
They are both 11. Technically, he'll be 12 in January.
Yes, but
just
it
no.
feels incredibly bad. It feels it's just not age appropriate. Like, I don't want to be the old man here in his 30s telling the kids that they don't understand the rap stylings, that they have no appreciation for what rap is supposed to be. And we can throw all that out the window. It's just weird to have what I'm going to say is probably the whitest boy on earth, spitting fire. And it's just so strange, especially since his partner in this duo has such a beautiful, soaring voice, very melodious. At the end, it feels like if Eminem were the featured artist on a track by Andrea Bocelli. Like, it's very odd when he starts rapping, and the rapping is very in earnest, which is just so strange when you look at him and you're like, You just finished memorizing your times tables. Like, I don't like it.
And in his defense, if you close your eyes and just sort of listen to the song, I don't think he's an awful rapper.
No, he's not an awful rapper, but it's just so bizarre. Mm-hmm.
And like, is he gonna wear a do-rag on stage?
Yeah, it's not a do-rag. Like, it's just a bandana.
Okay, but no, that's the word I just keep coming back to. It's just like this doesn't work. And again, they've been doing this for multiple years like this because it really feels like they were foisted upon each other and nobody was really especially happy about it. And yet here we are. This doesn't work.
Europe isn't ignorant to the conventions of rap music. I'm not going to be like, oh, maybe because they're not, it's not an American audience. I wonder if they'll be accepting of this. I have to wonder if the rest of the European youths will also be like, this feels weird for someone our age to be to be featured rapper.
I know he's been muted, but Derek has been very quiet and I've never been more concerned.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Guys. You know what Junior Eurovision really needs?
What does it need?
Chavs.
It just stick him in some Burberry and some Adidas three-stripe sneakers, and it is straight up early 2000s Chav. You're right. I don't know if that's a type that we needed ever again.
So some context, though. Watch My Dance, Greece, 2012?
11.
11, damn. Anyway.
So close.
That's one of my favorite Eurovision songs. I think it's just so cool. Interesting combination of like rap and like sort of opera. And I like when he started rapping, I was like, oh, this is interesting and different and weird. And it's taking a huge risk. And I'm really on board for this. And I thought Kaya was the girl. I keep wanting to call him EK. And then it's like, well, it could be either one of them. I thought she was great. I'm like, oh, this has like kind of the classic Disney ballad sort of sound to it.
And then we should stress that she is great.
She's fantastic.
Because our issues have been with the other half of the duo. She's great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
I think it feels very incongruous that he's 11 and he's rapping like this. But honestly, if he was like 20 something and rapping like this, I'd be like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, that's because it's believable. That's part of your persona as a performer. I'm just not buying
street
it.
Cred, and he just has no street cred.
Yeah, from the streets.
I just don't believe that he has any of the life experience that has traditionally informed rap at all. I am not convinced he has that at all.
This
type of rap specifically, like, I don't know, Wham Rap can exist on its own thing, but he's not doing the Wham Rap.
Sam, you've been there. Is there like a tough part of Valletta?
Is it from the mean streets of Gozo?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to.
No,
I just want to remind you, you're talking about 11-year-olds.
I know. Again, I don't want to be an old man about it. You can listen to rap music. You can listen to whatever you want, but it is. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And unfortunately, rap kind of is a genre where you have to believe the performer.
Sam,
we got one more song. We got one more song, and we are going to be doing a complete 180.
Shall we hop over the Straits of Messina and talk about Italy instead?
God, yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. In that case, we move over to Elisabetta Lizza with Specchio, Mirror on the Wall for Italy. And that was 12-year-old Elisabetta Lizza with Specchio, Mirror on the Wall. They took a year's hiatus for 2020, but are back in force. Now, Italy has been participating, with the exception of 2020, every year since 2014, and they actually have the honor of having won on their debut entry with Vincenzo Cantiello, Tu Primo Grande Amore. But the best that they have done since then was a third place in 2016 and 2 7th places in 2018 and 2019. Let's see if Elisabetta can follow Måneskin's lead and take the double for Italy.
I have my doubts, and it's not the quality of the song. I think it's that this primarily appeals to older kids. Don't think they're going to get the youngsters in on this one. I also have a tiny couple of quibbles with just like the, I don't know, the progression of the song, or just like some of the, sometimes the instrumentation feels a touch sparse. I like it. It is solid. I think it veers older, which I think is a liability. Would you agree?
No. No, okay. Honestly, I completely disagree. I think this could win. I think it's fantastic. She's great. Like, it legitimately rocks. And like, okay, maybe kids don't feel drawn to rock quite as much as a Jimagine or a superhero or, you know, any of the other pop songs that have traditionally won this thing. But look at who just won Eurovision.
Yeah.
I mean, kids like Måneskin a lot. I think, I mean, the reason Beggin was a huge hit in the United States is because it was big on TikTok. So I think that a song like this is primed to do well. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, she is also from Italy. I think this is great and has a legitimate shot. I could do without the mirror dancers. That seems doesn't seem quite what the song wants. But I don't know. It's Junior. Maybe I'm just wrong about that.
I'm trying to think of how to put this into words.
Okay.
I don't think it quite works the way Måneskin did. And I didn't quite believe her as a rock singer. And there was a little interlude in the middle where the guitars kind of went away and it got a little bit softer and she was just kind of singing. And I thought, this feels like it's more in her wheelhouse than the rock stuff. The guitar music itself didn't sound great. I don't know why. It just kind of sounded off to me.
Like I said, there's a couple of quibbles I had with instrumentation. I think sometimes it feels a bit too sparse.
Yes.
For a hard-edged rock song.
It feels like it's holding back a lot. And I don't get that. And I think Måneskin worked, especially on stage, because it was all out there. It was 100% going at it the whole time for 3 solid minutes. And again, I don't like the song, but I got it. I like watching them like live. I'm like, okay, I get this. There's something there. I'm not getting that same feeling here. It's not necessarily a bad song. I think it's good. I just wasn't taken in by it.
Sam, it's your last chance. What do you think?
I'm not saying boo. I can't. I'm not. No. I am a woman of honor.
Boo. That means she likes it.
I'm a woman of honor.
It's an odd one. Yeah, let's finish up just by indicating what's your top pick from this septet?
Sam?
Honestly.
Sam, go.
Yeah. Nope. Not going to do it.
For me, it's honestly, it's Italy. It's one of my favorites this year. If it falls a bit flat and feels kind of unlively in the arena, then maybe it's not going to work. But I have high hopes for it. I think she's going to rock out and it's going to do well.
I mean, if she can, absolutely. But just watching the video, I'm like, I mean, I have to give it to France myself, even though I know there's a better song out there that I just haven't seen yet. Just from this batch, it's got everything going for it. I think he sells the hell out of it. It looks and sounds great. I know it's the same thing we've had 3 years running now, but I mean, keep maybe next year you can try something different, please.
I'm going to say my top song, mine and no one else's, is Georgia.
Go on.
Georgia's going to be a roll of the dice. You know, either you're going to love it or you're just going to look at it and just do the confused dog head tilt. But I love Georgia. I think it's as weird as I want it to be.
Just like our own friendship, Danny. Just like our own.
It certainly feels a lot more kind of just gutsy and off kilter in a way that France's precision aimed production is not. It's just wonderfully weird.
Well, I suppose, my friends, that wraps up our first of three preview episodes of these Junior Eurovision 2021 preview shows. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a bit of a doozy.
Off to a fun start.
It's a fun start. We're not going to get anywhere near as wild as the main competition is, but I'm still excited because I know we have some truly great songs to get to.
Yep. So we will have another seven songs coming up on our next episode next week, followed by a last five and a little bit of a wrap up. But not from me, but from these guys anyway. But anyway, let us know what you think of our opinions on these songs or what you're looking forward to in the upcoming episodes. Again, find us on social media at 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Have we had enough, gentlemen?
I haven't had enough, but unfortunately I'm going to have to wait a week. So,
as are you all.
Yeah.
But we love you. We love you all so dearly. Thank you so much. So much for listening. It's great.
We really do appreciate everybody tuning in to our weekly, I suppose now weekly sessions of insanity. We thank you so much for joining us in the asylum. But until next week, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.
Sam, take us in the next song.
I'm not sure it's another one.
Sure, Ayana will appreciate your mouthful of, I'm going to assume, a sandwich of beans.
What?
What do Americans eat for dinner? Ah, bean sandwiches.
Yeah, beans.
For the record, it was a pork cutlet.
Pork cutlet, okay.
You know what grows great with pork?
Is beans. In a sandwich. All right.
Why are we friends?
I don't know.
Eurovision.
Beans?